And to the music of Elastic Bond, we welcome you back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the show today, musical renaissance man and Miami Beach hometown favorite, David Chesky, speaks with Charles Greenfield about his opera for kids, The Mice War, to be presented this weekend by Orchestra Miami in collaboration with the Florida Grand Opera. Bob Weinberg previews the 24th Riverwalk Blues Festival with co-producer Dar Lopez. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now in its third year, the Virginia Key Grassroots Festival of Music, Arts, and Dance has found a foothold on the prolific South Florida festival schedule. This family event is unlike any other festival, offering on four stages 50 bands from around the world representing a huge diversity of genres and cultures, a large kids' village featuring interactive arts experiences and cultural enrichment opportunities, live mural painting, yoga, music, and dance workshops in the Zen Village, a sustainability fair and expo with green businesses, sustainable services and products and nonprofits promoting a sustainable future for South Florida, a craft fair with 100% handmade artisanal goods, and a grassroots world cafe with a variety of ethnic cuisines. All that among much, much more. And back with us today to talk about this extraordinary celebration of life and family is Jono Potts, and welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Jono.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Ed. Really appreciate it.
It's so exciting that you guys are here back in town for a third year, and let's hope it continues to be an annual event. So much to talk about in so little time. Let's go ahead and start ticking off some of these great services that you're providing. This festival is not just a music and food event. It celebrates life. It's very concerned about sustainability. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a big component of what we do, sustainability. You know, we compost, we recycle everything that we use out on the site. We have a sustainability fair that's going to be happening this year. A lot of great stuff going on there, different workshops. You can come out. Magic City Bike Collective will be joining us on Sunday. If you ride your bike out, they have a tune-up station. You can get in for half price on the tickets that day if you ride your bike out. There's a big event called Cultural Evolutions putting on with the Dade County Recycling, where if you bring out used electronics or lightly used clothing, you donate that, you'll be put into a raffle to win tickets to the 2015 event, because we will be coming back to Virginia Key. There's a slow money workshops for raising money for local nonprofit groups. A lot of good workshops going on out there.
Let's run down some of the sustainability fair and expo components. You've got the science of composting, sourdough bread making workshop, a lot of workshops this year, together with 50 bands. Home beer brewing, do-it-yourself mosquito traps, and on and on. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, this is a great component of the festival. You can come on over. They'll be there all weekend long. You can walk through. You can charge your phone. You can talk with the different groups as you're there, learn about the composting, those kind of things. People will be present all weekend long at the tables, and then they'll be getting up on stage to do workshops on our sustainability pavilion stage.
Now, also solar demos, and that's all in the Sustainability Fair and Expo. This is not your regular music festival. Take us over to the Zen Village. Many workshops going on there. You offer massage, all sorts of healing workshops, acupuncture.
Yeah, Zen Village is great. They're right down in Coconut Grove. Master Sai is amazing. They've teamed up with us. They're one of our big community partners down here, and they'll do meditation, yoga, tensegrity. There'll be some vinyasa yoga. One of my really happy things here is Afro Beta is actually going to do a workshop with them. MC Yogi as well will be joining us and be working on the yoga piece of it. But then you can also go over for a tea ceremony with Master Sai. Sit, relax, enjoy the warm breeze off the ocean.
Tai Chi on the ocean and all of that?
Oh, yeah. Tai Chi, all that stuff.
More info at virginiakeygrassroots.org. You all are a 501c3 not-for-profit, and you're doing a lot of magnificent work here, much more than the average music festival. Let's talk about some of the great music. We opened up with Elastic Bond. They are performing on Thursday, February 20th at 10 in the evening. Afro Beta, also Thursday. Let's move to Friday. You got Locos Por Juana at about 10 o'clock on the Meadow stage. Four stages this year.
Four stages going all the time. Yeah, we have a 10,000 square foot dance tent we'll put up right by the beach. A lot of great stuff going on Friday night. Oliver Tacuzzi and the Black Spirits are coming in from Zimbabwe. Like you said, Elastic Bond will play again. The Best in Zydeco Music with Keith Frank and his Swallow Zydeco Family Band will play in the dance tent late that evening. Lots of really, really great stuff to do.
You got a bluegrass Grammy Award winning group.
Oh, man, just won. Del McCurry Band will be coming on out. They just won the Grammy for Best Bluegrass Album. So if you're into bluegrass, you can't beat him. He just celebrated his 75th birthday and is just as spunky as ever.
Jim Lauderdale will be playing Sunday on the Meadow stage, Sunday,
also,
February 23rd.
Also just got nominated for a Best Americana Grammy Album this year as well. He didn't win, but he was nominated. He's fantastic.
Great local groups. The French Horn, you got to see this marvelous band. They kind of run down the repertoire of Django Reinhardt, Gypsy Jazz, Spam All-Stars, Andrew and Company.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys, you know, are coming on 25 years of playing in the area. Fantastic. Just saw them last night. Love those guys. We're also really reaching out to the Latin community a little bit with Chaquib Town coming in from Colombia, who's a Latin Grammy winner, as well as Siete from Puerto Rico will be coming in. I see that you're pointing out another great thing, which is the Osceola Brothers. They're young and they're so much fun. They're so talented. You gotta love the youth and their exuberance on stage. Part of the Miccosukee tribe. I don't know if I got
Miccosukee.
That.
Yeah,
Miccosukee. So you know, that's very local and wonderful to bring them out and let them share what they do.
Suena Lo performing on Friday the 21st, as we mentioned, Locos Por Juana. We're running out of time, unfortunately, with our friend John O. Potts, co-producer of the 3rd annual Virginia Key Grassroots Festival of Music, Art, and Dance. Not your mom's regular festival. Children under 12 are admitted free, and it's quite a family affair, isn't it, Jono?
Yeah, it really is. It's a great family event. You can come on out. We have kids' workshops all the time. Every day of the festival, all day, there's a whole kids' village where they can do face painting and kids' yoga and story time, all kinds of wonderful events for the children out there. They will not guarantee to have fun. We do the Emerge Freedom Parade on Friday, where all the kids build masks and make signs and laugh and play and run around.
Wow, a marvelous family festival. Thank you for coming down for the past 3 years to Virginia Key on Key Biscayne, and may you all continue to make this an annual affair. Thank you so much to Mr. John O. Potts, and good luck, sir, on this year's annual Virginia Key Grassroots Festival of Music, Art, and Dance.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ed.
South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, music contributor Bob Weinberg speaks with Dar Lopez, co-producer of the 24th Riverwalk Blues and Music Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up A Word on Food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Miami Beach's musical renaissance man David Chesky returns to South Florida with performances of his absurdist opera for kids. Here's our classical arts contributor Charles Greenfield with the details.
David Chesky, former Miami resident and now New York jazz, classical opera, and ballet composer, children's books author, jazz pianist and audio technologist, and audiophile labelist Chesky Records, and three-time Grammy nominee, has roots in South Florida, and compositions flying around the world. In 2010-11, he served as composer-in-residence for the National Symphony of Taiwan, where he gave his world premiere of New York Variations. His comedic adult opera, The Pig, The Farmer, and the Artist, also premiered at the New York Fringe Festival. 2011 also saw the release of his two albums, Urbanicity and String Theory, with electric guitar, violin, and cello, which Classics Today said, String Theory, the music has integrity and gets under your skin. In 2012-13, Chesky won the prestigious Lancaster Symphony Composer Award. His solo piano album, The New York Rags, was released with two other CDs in 2013. His jazz quintet, Jazz and the New Harmonic, combines 21st century harmony with urban jazz, and his children's orchestral ballet, Zephyrtine, has received critical acclaim. Best known for his thrilling and driving urban orchestral music, a term which he himself coined, Chesky has developed his own unique style of composition, merging classical techniques with sounds emanating from the streets of New York. Chesky in recent years has ventured into the world of comic opera and encourages music education in young children. His children's opera, The Mice War, was first presented at the National Theater of Taiwan in Chinese to sold-out audiences in 2011. With such a positive response, the libretto is now being translated into Polish, Italian, and Portuguese, and is set for DVD release. In fact, L.A. native and conductor Brian Onderdonk with Orchestra Miami, led by Elaine Rinaldi, will perform David Chesky's The Mice War Sunday, February 9th at 4 p.m. at Pinecrest Gardens Banyan Bowl, 11000 Southwest 57th Avenue, Pinecrest, Florida. Onderdonk will take the show to 9 South Florida elementary schools through February 28th. Recently, I had the pleasure to speak to David Chesky in New York City about his works and his upcoming children's opera, The Mice War. David Chesky, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
David, I believe you are a Miami Beach native. What do you remember as an adolescent about Miami Beach and the musical scene that might have played some role in stimulating your own career?
Well, I grew up in Miami Beach. I went to North Beach Elementary, Nautilus Junior High School, and Miami Beach Senior High, and I had a wonderful time growing up. I remember most of my time on the beach and in sports, and I had a great time. It was wonderful. And I think a lot of my early influence were the Latin music I would hear at the beach. So, you know, as a composer today, I write very rhythmically, and I think a lot of those influences came from when I was a child, you know, hearing that type of, you know, pulsating Latin rhythm that emanated from Miami during the 60s. I think it was the, you know, bossa nova craze, and you also had the cha-cha and things like that. But that music was very percussive in rhythm, and it always played a part in my future compositions.
You moved to New York in 1974 as a musician and began composing, performing jazz with the David Chesky Big Band and recording. How did you negotiate such a tough and unyielding urban musical scene?
Well, I think ignorance is bliss. I didn't know any better, and, you know, I was just determined this is what I wanted to do with my life, so I just came like a bull in a china shop. And the one good thing about New York is a great university. You see the best of the best here, and I was exposed to some really great people, and I learned, and I just kept working at it. And I used the city to inspire me. You know, I do this type of music called urban orchestral, and basically in my philosophy that art has to reflect time and culture, and, you know, I live in the middle of New York City, not some beautiful mountainside retreat, and my music reflects this city. It's very pulsating, and, you know, in the subway, I guess the metaphor would be, you know, get out of my face type of thing. So I have a very relentless type of pulsating rhythmic beat to my music.
Now, the New York Times called your music gritty sophistication with street-level energy and currents of exotic folkishness. That seems like a real mouthful. How would you deconstruct that?
Well, I think it's organic. I believe, you know, we can contrive any type of music we want, but I think music has to be organic. When you're, hypothetically, if you're on the beach in Miami and you hear a Latin band playing, instantaneously you want to dance. There's something about it that's organic. What I want to do is take this folkloric music that I hear in New York, rap, funk, hip-hop, Latin, et cetera, and make it into a symphonic language like Bartok and Stravinsky did. They use their folkloric music, you know, and they constructed their works. But this is the music, the folkloric music of my time. So the idea is to take this organic music, fuse it into a larger setting in an orchestral setting, but still retain the organic feeling, which to me makes it poetic and artful.
So you are classically trained so that there is the 12-tone revolution of the early 20th century. Is that part of it at all, or is it still more of this folkloric term that you're using?
No, my harmonic language is very modern. I don't use 12-tone. I use a different type of harmonic language, of parallel clusters. But there is 12-tone in there, but the thing is I disguise it. I like to write like if you were in a fun house and you went and you looked in front of a mirror. I like to take tonality and distort it. And I like to fuse the distorted tonality with these pulsating rhythms to create an American type of sound that really reflects where our culture is going now.
Now, you write orchestral works, operas. You do jazz for piano, ballet, children's books, and, of course, the audio technology. We'll talk separately about the audio in a little while. That's a lot of genres. And is there a common thread to what seem to be different types of genres?
Well, the common thread is I like to do new things all the time. I don't like to eat cornflakes every day. I think it's a challenge. I think when you do one thing, you know, you can get bored of it. So I like to go from jazz, and I like to go to classical. I like to do an opera. I like the challenge of the technology world. Sometimes I'm a little frustrated in the orchestral classical world where I say 100 years ago and classical music is considered new, and technology 24 hours ago is considered old. So I think it's all these things just keep me stimulated.
Ballets and children books. What's going on there?
Well, I think it's very important that we bring in the next generation into the arts. And since I see the school systems in this country kind of failing to do that, I decided that I would write works for children, you know, in the vein of Peter and the Wolf, to engage them. I think it's important. I have this new ballet called the Zephyrtine that just was in Portugal, and we have a CD that just came out. But it's this magical ballet, and it's with a full orchestra, very rhythmic. But it's, you know, a fairy tale story for children. And we'll discuss later, you know, the Mice War, which I think is important. It teaches children the absurdity of war, but at the same time, it's a nice entree into the world of opera for them. If our institutions are going to survive and we're going to pass down our culture to the next generation, we need to get them involved at a very early age. It's not something that they're going to walk in one day when they're 16 and say, you know, I think I want to go hear DeRozan and Cavalier. It's not going to happen. They have to be weaned on it.
Now, before we go into opera, let's go into tech a little bit. Can you give us a simplified version of what's going on in your studios?
I have two tech companies. One's Chesky Records, where we develop new recording technologies, and we're doing binaural recordings. And instead of using microphones, we use a dummy head with a lot of DSP filtering. And this way, when you hear the recording back, it's like you were actually in the venue listening to the orchestra. So if you heard a record from Carnegie Hall, instead of it appearing on two speakers like it was a recording, you feel that you're in Carnegie Hall. And also, this translates a lot better to headphones. Since we live a world of headphones, this type of recording sounds spectacular on headphones as well. So the other tech company I have is HD Tracks, where we distribute all the records from all the major labels and artists around the world in high-resolution technology, and it's much better sound than CD. It's 192 kilobits, 24 bits, and it's the same as listening to DVD audio, but we can deliver to you on the web in a few seconds.
And now,
it's much better than an MP3.
Right. Let's go into the opera. You are going to present The Mice War here in South Florida in February. It will be performed by conductor Brian Onderdonk and the Orchestra Miami in collaboration with Florida Grand Opera. What's going on in The Mice War, and how did you come about writing this?
Well, The Mice War is a little absurdist opera for children. It's basically that the blue mice get in a war with the red mice over the color of cheese. As the opera unfolds, you see how ridiculous it is, and it shows children how ridiculous war is, and that's why I wrote this opera. And at the same time, it exposes them to classical music. And, you know, it's doing really well. It's playing in Asia. It's in Europe now. And I'm very happy that Elaine Rinaldi and Orchestra Miami undertook this project. And I think, you know, people down there should really enjoy it with their families.
We have to close now, David. What are some new works coming out that we can hear about very briefly?
Well, I have a new CD, The New York Rags, which are a collection of ragtime modern piano music I wrote with vignettes from New York City. I have another piece, the Zephyrtine Ballet, just came out on CD. I'm currently in the studio. We're finishing up a rap symphony, which I wanted to try. It's a symphony with rappers to to, like I said, try to reflect what's going on in our culture, and that's turning out to be a lot of fun as well. And then I go back to Europe for my operas, and I'm going to do another jazz record. So that's kind of it for now.
Very busy man, David Chesky. I want to thank you for attending South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and hopefully I'll be down on the beach soon.
David Chesky's children's opera, The Mice War, will be presented in 9 South Florida elementary schools throughout February with L.A.-based conductor Brian Onderdonk in collaboration with 3 young artists from the Florida Grand Opera, as well as 8 professional musicians from Orchestra Miami. The main performance takes place February 9th at Pinecrest Gardens Banyan Bowl. Tickets can be purchased online through Orchestra Miami's website, orchestramiami.org, or by calling Brown Paper Tickets at 1-800-838-3006. For information on David Chesky, go to his website, davidchesky.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the show, Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, music contributor Bob Weinberg gives us a preview of Fort Lauderdale's 24th Riverwalk Blues Festival.
Painted by South Florida artist Joe Klukar, the poster for this year's Riverwalk Blues Festival depicts a young B.B. King gratefully embracing his beloved guitar as the juke joint behind him goes up in flames. As the legend goes, B.B. had rescued his axe from imminent immolation after a fight between 2 rowdy patrons over a girl. Her name? Lucille. Of course, King and his Lucille would achieve global fame, bringing the blues to audiences far beyond his native Itabena, Mississippi. Keeping the blues flame ignited here in South Florida has not always been an easy task, but thankfully, torchbearers such as Dar Lopez continue to keep the music blazing. The longtime host of the weekly radio program Sunday Blues with Dar, Lopez has been championing the genre's local, regional, and international artists for more than 20 years. Starting in 2010, she and her husband Gerardo Lopez have organized the annual Riverwalk Blues Festival. With its 24th incarnation kicking off next Friday, the weekend-long event was started by Don Cohen in the parking lot of his much-missed Musicians Exchange on Sunrise Boulevard. Over the years, the festival migrated to Bouvier Park and the Fort Lauderdale Baseball Stadium, hosting some of the biggest names in the blues, including Buddy Guy, Etta James, and John Mayall. After being diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer in 2007, from which he died shortly thereafter, Cohen asked his good friends, the Lopezes, to keep the festival going. The couple started modestly in the parking lot of the Downtowner Saloon. This year, the event will present music on stages at the Poorhouse and the Dubliner in downtown Fort Lauderdale, as well as in nearby Esplanade Park, where fittingly, a Don Cohen memorial stage will stand. And with artists such as Satan and Adam, Tinsley Ellis, and Johnny Sansone coming in for the event, and South Florida faves such as Albert Castiglia, J.P. Soares, and the Soulphonics with Betty Paget on hand, the streets of Fort Lauderdale will once again echo with the sounds of the blues. We recently spoke about South Florida's signature blues event with Dar Lopez at the WLRN studios.
Dar Lopez, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you. And of course, we're always very excited about the Riverwalk Blues Festival.
Me too.
Now, this is coming up. It's going to be President's Weekend, also Valentine's Day.
Yes.
So we know where you and Mr. G are going to be on Valentine's Day.
Definitely, with live music like we always would be anyways.
That's right. So anyway, very exciting lineup this year. And we should mention that on Friday, there's going to be, I guess it's a sort of a de facto CD release party.
Yes.
For the Showcasing the Blues Volume 4.
Yes, Mosier Street Records is our presenting sponsor, and Jerry and David Bloom are big supporters of the music scene, and they've been putting out Showcasing the Blues CDs for the last few years. This is their Volume 4, and it's all harmonica players. It's a double disc CD, and part of the Riverwalk Blues Fest is we'll be showcasing their Showcasing the Blues. With the CD release party, you'll be able to get the CD there. Dr. Lee and the Regulators will be performing,
right.
And then we'll have Tinsley Ellis close the show that night, and he has a brand new CD out
as
well.
Too.
So everybody be ready to take some CDs home.
Right, and that's going to be at the Poorhouse.
Yes, the Poorhouse, yeah, yes. We're very excited about the Poorhouse being the venue. They're right around the corner from Esplanade Park where the festival will be, so it's all right in the same vicinity. Everybody will kind of be hanging around downtown Fort Lauderdale all weekend long, and it's a great place to be.
So this year we've got actually three different venues.
Yes.
So we start at the Poorhouse.
Yes.
Saturday is going to be Esplanade Park.
Yes. And then Saturday night, when we finish at 11 o'clock at the park, we'll move over to the Dubliner, and Famous Frank will host his All-Star Jam, as he does every year for the festival. And we'll be at the Dubliner until they kick us out.
And we should also mention another friend of ours is going to be playing in the neighborhood, Joel Da Silva.
Yes, it's actually really great because when we finish the festival at 11 o'clock, you'll have a lot of options downtown Fort Lauderdale anyways, but we have Joel Da Silva playing over at Fat Cats, and then we've got the Dubliner hosting the All-Star Jam with Famous Frank, so plenty of music going on. The Poorhouse will have music that night as well, so it's just a lot of fun. You don't have to move your car. You can just kind of wander around and enjoy everything around that area.
Yeah, that's such a great area.
It's absolutely beautiful down there. And when you live in Florida, sometimes you forget about how people come here for a vacation because it is so gorgeous. And when that downtown area is beautiful, the park is beautiful. It's right on the Riverwalk. And I could say we have a million cool little places in there that sometimes you overlook because we live here. So
sure.
And then on Sunday, we're going back to the Dubliner for the Film Fest, which is a free event.
Right.
And that's it's our third year doing that. And that was my husband Gerardo's idea. It's his love of film and music kind of combined and love of blues. Each year for the Blues Music Awards, there is a category for best DVD. And most of the time, people don't get to actually see those DVDs. So when they are voting, it's kind of just looking at a name and maybe they've seen one of them. So we try to showcase several of them that are actually nominated so people can make an educated vote and choose the one that deserves to win instead of just going by the name.
Can you tell us one of the titles that you're excited about this
year? Yes. We actually have three different ones. Mirali Coryell, his live performance DVD is one of the nominated ones. We also just found out today that Joe Bonamassa's DVD is going to be shown as well.
But Mirali, of course, is the son of the legendary jazz guitarist Larry Coryell, and he's a wonderful blues player.
Yes, he is, and it's exciting that we get to showcase these films and people get to see them because it's not something that everybody really has the opportunity to see. It's not shown in regular theaters. Some people have purchased it, but it's nice that they get to see it and then can make a good vote for the Blues Music Awards.
And sure.
And we have live music that day as well with Blues Dragon. They'll do the duo first, and then the band will perform at the end. And most everybody has Monday off for President's Day, so we can keep them out late again on Sunday.
Excellent. And another artist who I think a lot of people probably saw for the first time in a film, the great Satan and Adam, who appeared in Rattle and Hum with U2.
Yes, and there's a documentary about them coming out this year. We're going to have the trailer, hopefully, to screen.
Can't wait to see that.
But they're not quite finished with the film yet, although we just can't wait to see it. But there's a small trailer that we're going to try to show for that day as well. And they will be performing at the festival.
Yes.
And I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, this is kind of a rare thing. We don't get to see Satan and Adam. Sterling McGee, the great guitar player, and Adam Gasau, the excellent, excellent harp player, who I guess he teaches in Mississippi now.
Yes, he's a professor at the college, and he's written several books, and he's done a lot of tutorials for harmonica players, and he's kind of like a hero for most harmonica players of this generation.
Oh, yeah. And Sterling, of course, has this amazing history in the R&B and funk fields going back to the 60s and 70s. And then, of course, hooked up with Adam and became this great duo in Harlem. And he also has Florida roots.
He's, yes.
I guess he now lives in the Gulfport area?
Yes, they'll be coming over. I think he's someplace around Tampa is what I was told, but he'll be coming over by car, so he's close.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people will be very excited about seeing them once again. And sort of a younger artist who's been generating a lot of excitement, Samantha Fish.
Yes.
Wonderful roots and blues artist.
Yeah, she's fabulous. We've been fortunate to see her several times on the Legendary Rhythm and Blues Cruise. She's a Blues Music Award winner. She won a few years ago for Best New Artist. Very well deserved. She's very talented and an absolutely lovely young lady. And she's really a great performer. So it's exciting to have her at the festival as well. Her band is phenomenal and she never disappoints.
And, of course, we must showcase our great local talent and certainly J.P. Soares with Matt Guitar Murphy, who I guess we now can claim as one of our own.
Yes.
Living down here.
Yes, now that he lives in Miami, he's ours. But J.P. Soares, of course, they won the J.P. Soares and the Red Hots won the International Blues Challenge a few years ago. And since then, their career has just skyrocketed. And they've also performed several times on the Blues Cruise and festivals all over the world. They've been really just taking the blues world by storm. And to have Matt Guitar Murphy as their special guest is going to be really nice. And it's not only exciting for us, but also for JP and the band. They're very excited to have Blues Hall of Fame, you know, Matt Guitar Murphy with them for a few songs as well.
And, of course, Miami's own Albert Castilla. One of our favorites. And
yes, we absolutely
with a brand new CD coming out.
Yes, we're very excited about that as well. Albert, he's in Europe for this past month, and he's going to come back, play the festival, and then go back to Europe for 3 more months. So it's a good opportunity for everybody to come and see Albert and show some love. And the new CD, I've actually gotten to hear a sneak preview of it, and it's the best one he's ever done.
Wow.
Dave Gross produced it at Fat Rabbit Studios, and Dave has such a great ear and such good input. And it's all Albert, but it's very versatile Albert. I mean, it's things I've never heard on his other CDs before. And
yeah,
it's
is very versatile. He can do such a wide variety. Now, there was another event that I'd love to ask you about, the Floyd Dixon celebration. What does that involve?
The Floyd Dixon celebration is one of the films that's been nominated for the Blues Music Awards, and we're going to be showcasing that at the Film Fest. And it's very well done. It's really nice to see people paying tribute. And DVD definitely is well worth watching, and it is nominated for a Blues Music Award. So we're happy for people to see it and hopefully enjoy it as much as we do.
And then people don't know Floyd so well, but everybody knows Hey Bartender, which was
exactly.
his big hit. So.
Exactly. So that's going to be nice, too. That's on the Sunday for the Film Fest. And the Film Fest is free, so everybody should come and join us for that.
Oh,
for sure.
Fantastic. And the Film Fest will take place at the Dubliner, correct?
At the Dubliner, yes. We start around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there'll be live music in between the films. So it's a fun day to chill after we've been kind of, you know, whooping it up for the Friday and Saturday. Sunday we can kind of chill, watch some cool
films. In a dark room with the lights off.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dar, this looks like another amazing edition of the Riverwalk Blues Fest, and we're all looking forward to it. And, you know, I guess we should mention Don Cohen's great legacy as well. I see that you have a Don Cohen memorial stage that's going to be at Esplanade Park.
Yes, this wouldn't even happen if it wasn't for Don. Don Cohen, of course, started the festival with Sheldon Voss in the Musicians Exchange parking lot. And it's been, you know, one of the premier festival around Fort Lauderdale. When Don passed away, it was just his wish for the festival to keep going. And he asked my husband and I, when he was in hospice, if we would take care of his baby. And he meant his festival. And he wanted us to keep it going. And it's very important for us. It's a labor of love. It's definitely important to keep it for Don, for the music fans, for Fort Lauderdale, for blues.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dar, thank you so much for speaking with us today. And, of course, the best of luck with the festival. Can't wait to go and experience it in person.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it as well. We should mention also Johnny Sansone, who's coming to the festival. He is a Blues Music Award winner and nominated again this year for the Song of the Year.
Well, thank you again, Dar. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
The Riverwalk Blues Festival kicks off on Friday, February 14th at the Poorhouse, continues February 15th at Esplanade Park, and winds up February 16th at the Dubliner, all in downtown Fort Lauderdale. For more information, visit riverwalkblues.com. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on WLRN and WKWM in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I want the fram-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot, do, 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 yeah, do, do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is adobos. Writing my radio show brings me to some words that have a kind of oral personality. Latin Caribbean cuisine abounds in them. Yuca, mofongo, fufu, boniato, and the ultra-sensually sounding guanabana are all legal prey to my pursuits. Today's show is on the word adobo. Sound it out, it is as if someone was doing a short drum beat on your desk. Ba-bum-bum. Try it. Adobo. Ba-bum-bum. Adobo means spice rub or marinade, and the particular recipe we include on the WLRN website was inspired by ones introduced by African slaves brought to Bahia in Brazil in the 17th century. But the actual birthplace is of some confusion and disagreement. There is little arguing that the Filipinos have claimed adobos as their national dish, but it is adobo's flexibility that allows this. When this transoceanic traveler met the foodstuffs of Asia, soy sauce found its way into the party. The talented chef, Edward Lee, now of Memphis, was raised by his Korean grandmother in Brooklyn. He has a recipe in his fine cookbook, Smoke and Pickles, for an adobo broth in which he poaches chicken as a preliminary step to finishing them to crispy perfection by a frying method. The broth has no fresh chilies. Its payload is delivered via soy, vinegar, water, sugar, garlic, bay leaves, and crushed red pepper flakes. The grandmothers of the world seem to have endorsed crock-pot cookery. I have been in the home of a Filipino granny who thought I worked too hard sometimes and offered to share her slow-cooked version of adobo chicken. She layered bone-in chicken thighs in her crock-pot with a zippy mixture of onions, soy sauce, granulated sugar, and rice wine vinegar, and went off to play cards with her neighbor lady friends. A few hours later, she offered it up with a side of fluffy white rice. She popped each of us an ice-cold beer, and I was a happy man. In Spanish cuisine, the flavors are informed by olive oil, vinegar, garlic, as well as various herbs and spices. When it got to the New World, chilies climbed aboard, and that is how I most commonly make and use adobos. The one I make most often is a wet kind of paste. It makes for a messy but fun way of cooking. I rub it on chicken, steaks, veal chops, and even some of the more meaty fish before the thermal aspects of cooking starts. And most often, I sear it to push the flavors deeply into the food and then finish it by roasting where the heat is more in a surrounding mode. This also helps prevent the adobo from getting bitter, which could happen if the searing were prolonged. When I make our homemade chorizo sausage recipe, I massage my adobo paste in with the raw pork and pork fat to create a major jump in flavors. After studying my friend Ed Lee's cookbook a bit more, I might adobo rub a chicken versus his broth and then fry the bird up. I might even take one more recipe he offers by serving it with a dipping sauce made by simply mixing a ratio of maple syrup, fish sauce, soy sauce, lemon juice, and habanero chilies. Yes, I will. Can't wait to get to Memphis to try his in person. Spice rubs have become a big deal, and many home cooks and backyard grill enthusiasts boast about their secret rubs and spice mix elixirs. Want to trump the boys and girls in your hood? Make adobos. Don't tell them how easy it is. Ba-bum-bum. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Cinnamon. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. How's life, Andy?
Life is great, Ed. It's always fabulous in the fabulous Florida Keys.
Tell us about it.
And I'll tell you something, we are thick into the winter season, and we've got, first of all, through March 26th down in Key West, the Florida Keys Eco Discovery Center is presenting an art exhibition entitled Tropical Botanic Artists. In Marathon, today and Saturday, the Marathon Community Theater is presenting A Few Good Men. Ed, you are definitely one of those few good men, for sure.
I'd like to think so.
Absolutely. Down in Key West, tomorrow through February 15th, the Waterfront Playhouse is presenting Other Desert Cities. This is a Pulitzer Prize finalist nominated for 5 Tony Awards. Through March 9th up in Alamorada, Florida Keys History and Discovery Center, which is located at the Islander Resort. It's a Guy Harvey outpost at mile marker 82. They are presenting Clyde Butcher, also known as the Ansel Adam of the Everglades, a tremendous photographer.
Tremendous.
His exhibition is showcasing the natural beauty of Cuba, as well as a number of Florida Keys images. Just spectacular. Today and Saturday, if you're driving that Florida Keys Overseas Highway, you'll want to be a little bit careful, and you'll want to go ahead and just allow a little extra time because you will probably encounter the Ragnar Relay. It's a Florida Keys run that starts in Miami and heads down to Key West. And there are, I think there's about 500 or 600 runners that are running in teams making that trek down the Florida Keys Overseas Highway. Down in Key West today through Sunday, Civil War Days Heritage Festival. There's colorful Civil War reenactments, cannons, the sights of soldiers in Civil War uniforms. They're all at the Civil War era Fort Zachary Taylor Historic State Park. In Alamorada, today through Sunday, dive into history. It's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and it is at the History of Diving Museum. Back to Key West we go, and the Waterfront Playhouse is presenting Sweet Seasons. Our own conch diva, Key West, Carmen Rodriguez, is presenting the Songbook of Carole King.
Wonderful.
Yes, indeed, Ed. Wonderful. But that's not all. We still have more, and we still have more this weekend. Because in Marathon, the Middle Keys, the 20th annual Pigeon Key Art Festival, which is being staged at Marathon Community Park from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow and on Sunday. Tremendous art. This is a juried art show, by the way. Live music, great food, and the great thing about it is that festival goers can retain their ticket stubs, and that'll get them a free ferry trip and historic tour of Pigeon Key. That's that tiny little island in the middle of the old 7 Mile Bridge, and that is indeed where Henry Flagler's Overseas Railroad workers lived. That was a base camp in the early 1900s when they built that original 7 Mile Bridge. Not the only art show in Marathon this weekend. There's the Locals Art Show at the Kmart Shopping Plaza, again from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. If you're into sport fishing, I got the place for you to learn about sport fishing. It's in Alamorada at the Performing Arts Center at the Coral Shores High School. The Saltwater Sportsman National Seminar Series comes in on Saturday. Great opportunity to learn how to fish from the professionals. Number of Florida Keys-based captains will be conducting seminars. In Alamorada on Sunday, the second Sunday, Picking in the Park. It's a bluegrass jam for all ages and skill levels. It'll be from 1 to 5 p.m. at South Winds Park. That's mile marker 82.1. Taking a look now into next week on February 10th, the Florida Keys Concert Association, Ed, will be presenting Sue Young Ham. She is a featured pianist. She will be performing in Marathon on February 10th and in Alamorada on February 11th. February 12th to the 15th in Marathon, the Florida Keys Watercolor Society will be presenting the Leslie Franz Workshop. It's themed Water Media, A Fresh Start. Of course, Valentine's Day is next Friday, and in Key West, the 31st annual Valentine's Gala. That'll be on the grounds of the historic Curry Mansion at 511 Caroline Street. Another edition of the Key West House and Garden Tour, Ed. That's February 14th to the 15th. Great chance to tour the series of elegant and unique private homes of Key West. They range from exquisite restorations to creative renovations and also an interior design that really complements their architecture and all adds up to a unique Key West flavor. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. February 15th in Alamorada, the Free Outdoors Pops in the Park and a pet parade concert at Alamorada Founders Park, mile marker 87. Again, it's free. Starts at 4 p.m. presented by the Keys Community Concert Band. Remember, you want to bring your dog, your cat, or your parent. Ed, let's talk about a couple more events here before we got to leave you. February 15th to the 16th, the 5th annual Chili in the Keys Regional Cook-Off. That'll be at the Alamorada Moose Lodge. Also that weekend down in Key West, the Garden Fest Key West and Beer Garden, the 16th and 17th in Key Largo, Florida Keys Art Guild Art Festival, another Florida Keys Concert Association presentation on the 17th in Marathon and on the 18th in Alamorada, the Trio Solisti. And also, Ed, as we always talk about each month, the third Thursday Art Walk is part of the Marotta Way Arts and Cultural District monthly offerings. And, of course, it showcases the fine arts, music, and culinary nuances of the Purple Isles. That'll be Thursday, February 20th. And, Ed, finally, in Alamorada, the 22nd to the 23rd, February, the 19th annual Upper Keys Gigantic Nautical Flea Market. Also that weekend, the 49th annual Old Island Days Art Festival. That's in Key West. And the 23rd of March through March 2nd, the 30th annual Winter Star Party. That's in the Lower Keys. Of course, much more details on these and so many other events coming up in the fabulous Florida Keys on that Florida Keys website, flakeys.com.
And a big thanks to Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council for all of those exciting events. Great weekend, Andy.
And to you too, Ed.
They'll be swinging in Miami at the 17th annual Melton Mustafa Jazz Festival, February 14th and 15th, featuring saxophonist James Carter with the Melton Mustafa Orchestra. It all takes place at the Lou Rawls Center for the Performing Arts on the FMU campus in Miami Gardens. For more information, go to Melton, M-E-L-T-O-N, Mustafa.com. And the workshop Moments of Joy is presented in partnership with the Florida Art Therapy Association and the Low Art Museum Saturday, February 15th from 10 to 12:30. It's free of charge and, of course, open to the public. And their specific focus of late night life wellness is aimed at those 55 and above. There'll be art therapy workshops and a museum tour. No artistic skill is needed. You can register by calling 305-707-5106 or email info@arttherapyconsulting.com. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. Tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org. For more information. That's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Bob Weinberg, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. Fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 and 91.5. Until next time, Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.